You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Welcome back to another episode of the ATL podcast. I am your host, Matt B. Davis, bringing you the second episode of the week because I care so much about getting this content out to you. If you have not listened, it's a spam call. If you haven't listened to Das BBQ episode, Stephen Franklin, that came out earlier this week, go ahead and give that a listen. I like it a lot. I went back and listened to it. I enjoyed it. I think you will too. This is the final third episode of the Super Bowl content. And dare I say, we saved the best for last. You do not have to listen to the first 2 episodes to be caught up, as it were, because it's not a sequel. It's not a sequence. It's just when I talk to these people. But here's who I got on the last day. Are you ready? Gary V. Okay, there's a mic drop. Gary V. I believe I told the entire story of how that went down already on another show. So if you have questions, send me a DM and I will point you to the episode on my other program, The Obstacle Podcast, where I describe that in detail. Number 2, Waka Flocka Flame. Okay. So, I mean, like, where are we even going to go from there? Right. Where are we going to go from there? Craig Gass, famous comedian who we'd never actually met. We know some of the same people. Those of you that know, I used to be in the comedy world. He does phenomenal impressions. I'm laughing my ass off during the interview. And that's not just because he was sitting there, but because it's legitimately hilarious. Regina Love, who I did not know who she was, as I don't watch The Voice. But she and I had the longest conversation of all the people you're about to hear because she had a very fascinating story. And then one, Rocket Ismail, former college and NFL great. So you're going to hear all those people. And this was all back in February, and I'm excited to finally bring it to you. So I think that's it. To just quickly rewind, if you haven't listened to the other two, I got a media pass for the Super Bowl. No, I didn't get to go to the game, but I did go to what's called Radio Row, which is, for us, it was in the George World Congress Center, and it's celebrities and football players and people doing interviews, and so I just grabbed people. I got a pass and I just grabbed people as they walked by and said, hey, would you do my show? So that's what you're going to hear. Please do enjoy this episode. You can also go back and listen to the other Super Bowl episodes, which were back in February. All right. Away we go. All right. So hot take, Rams back in Los Angeles.
Yes. Fun. 3 years now.
Yeah?
Yeah. 3 years later.
Talk a little bit closer.
Oh, yeah. 3 years later, here we are in Atlanta for the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah. Who'd have thunk it, right?
But I'm saying, well, like, when all this was like, hey, we're going back, like, what was your thought?
You know, it was funny. You kind of had an inkling because I've been with them in this capacity since 2008 as a broadcaster.
Okay.
So I retired in 2001. So
Wait a minute. That, you know how old you just made me feel?
I know. Do you know how old I am? Right. So, I mean, we kind of knew something was up around 2014. 2015, it got, you know, really, really loud with the move. And then, sure enough, they did. So, you know, it was tough leaving St. Louis, but it was also tough leaving Los Angeles at the same time in 1994.
Right.
Yeah.
How often do you think about the last time you were in the Super Bowl? I mean, I've asked guys, like, are there any plays that keep you up at night? And for you, I would think it would almost be the opposite, right? Like, how many times you've relived, like, that magic?
You know, sometimes I think of plays that we made, and I do get nervous because I know how close we were to not making that play. You know what I mean? And it was such a tight game that, you know, one misplayer here or there could have cost you the game. So, and as it was, we won by 1 yard. You know, we barely beat Tennessee. But, yeah, I mean, there are some things that I think about. But each and every time I do think about the Super Bowl, I look down and there's a ring on my finger. You know?
So, and then you're like, okay, I'm okay.
Yeah, I know it comes out okay for me.
All right.
The rest of my teammates, yeah.
All right. What do you think Bill Belichick knows that the rest of us don't?
Wow. How to deal with these situations? You know, no matter what, if Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are down by a touchdown with less than a minute to go, right? There's pressure on them to score and win the football game. But remember, man, they're multiple-time world champions. Even if they don't get it here, they're still going home as champions. So they've been here before. There's a certain calmness that comes over you when you have that experience. But there's nothing like your first time, man. I mean, this could be your only time for guys in a Rams uniform. So it means a lot more to the first time than the ninth time being here.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you have that conversation with younger guys? Like, hey, man, this might be it.
You know, it's funny when you see guys, like, in the elevator, and you can tell their head's just spinning, and you'll just say, like, it's crazy, isn't it? And they'll go, wow, I had no idea. Yeah, this is the Super Bowl. This is what it's like to be on top. This is where you want to be, and
right,
this is where you want to stay. So it's tough to get here. It's even tougher to stay.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw Jim Brown.
Yeah.
And then, like, Starbucks over there and, you know, like, Michael Irvin's over there. And, like, it is kind of, like, this is my first time here. It's pretty
Yeah. That was the cool thing for me. Like, when we were walking out for media day, you know, when they let us out, this is when they forced us to wear our uniforms, which I never got.
Like, they make you put on a jersey?
A jersey and football pants. So, basically tights. You know? Like, why would I want to – I don't wear this in public. I wear this for football. But why would I do this – now I need a towel. Let me cover this up. But you know, it's when you walk out for media day, and like you said, all these illuminaries are there, but they're all talking about you. You know, so the one time I think I saw someone like Roger Staubach, and I'm walking by, and he's mentioning my name. Wow. Hey, mom. Guess what? Roger Staubach is talking about me right now. Jim Brown just said I'm a pretty good player.
Right.
It's awesome. You know, it's. It's heaven for young players. This is what you dreamed about.
You seem like a relatively humble cat. How do you stay humble?
You know what? Man, look, we were all kids at one point, and we all dreamed about this. You know, just some of us are lucky enough to get there, you know? But that never died. I'm still that kid. I'm still that kid that snuck into the Oakland Coliseum to watch Raider games. You know? Like, I still know where the hole in the fence is to get in. Yeah, so.
They haven't fixed it?
No, hell no. I'm not going to tell you where it is either. But, no, I mean, I'm still that guy. I'm still a fan. I still love this game.
Who did you want to be when you were running around with a Nerf or whatever?
Oh, man. On offense, Marcus Allen.
Oh.
I wanted to be Mark. I tried that cutback I don't know how many times, or jumping over the couch like
right,
he does,
right,
you know, breaking my shoulder.
Right.
Wanted to be Walter Payton. Everybody wanted to be 34. But on defense, Mean Joe and Howie Long, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to be Mean Joe bad. Yeah. I wanted to be that guy on a Coke commercial.
Right.
Absolutely.
But I'm guessing you've got to hung with Howie a fair amount, right?
Yeah. I became a fan of Howie once I started really playing football. Like, every kid my age loved Mean Joe.
Right.
And you wanted to be like Mean Joe. But once I started to play, then I started to watch Howie. And I'm going to imitate and emulate those moves. I even wore 75 because of him.
Does he know that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right?
He calls me 75.
Oh, that's awesome.
I don't know how to take it, you know?
That's really sweet.
What's up, 75? Whoa, Howie just said 75. Wow. But we all agree, really, 75 is Deacon Jones's number.
Right, so, not Mean Joe.
No, it's Deacon Jones's number.
Okay, so, really old school.
Yeah, really.
Because I know Mean Joe.
Everybody knows Mean Joe.
Well,
who didn't want to be Mean Joe?
Dude, but not the kids that are 25 and under.
You know what? Look, every player that plays in the NFL should have a history course.
I think so, too.
You should know who your players are, your
right,
guys are. We had a player, and I don't even want to say his name to throw him under the bus, but he played the position, the same position as Larry Allen, but didn't know who Larry Allen was.
Right.
Larry Allen just left the league not too long ago. How
right,
could you not know? Right. You know?
So I met Greg Cosell.
Yeah.
And he said most people, like a lot of people, have no idea who Howard is. I'm like, or have not seen him. I'm like, are you kidding me?
The history of the game,
right,
is written. Most of it, or at least the beginning phases, is written with his voice.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So I got to ask you the defense question.
Shoot.
Right. Are we doomed for a different game at some point?
What do you mean?
That
is the game going to change?
Well, that it already has. And, you know, no. I say to people, so what I've said this week is I'm old enough, and so are you, to remember when baseball was like, I feel like, on equal footing ground with football, if not more, right? When baseball is the most popular sport in America?
Yeah.
When the Super Bowl was huge but wasn't this thing it is now?
Right.
Is it possible that we're no longer on top? Is it possible that defense keeps kind of getting legislated out? And
you know, no. This is a popular sport for a reason, because it's the ultimate team sport. It just brings everybody together. I mean, it's 11 guys that have to act as one to move the football a yard. I think everyone understands that. That's unity. You know what I mean? That's the way it's supposed to be.
UNITY?
Exactly. But that's the way it's supposed to be.
I was hoping I'd get you to sing.
Right. I'm not going to do that.
Not going to put on tights and not going to sing.
No, I'm not doing that. They already had me dancing over there not too long ago.
Really?
Some Fortnite dance thing over there. They made me do it.
I'm all right.
I can't dance.
But you're like, for the Shield, you'll do it?
Yeah.
Take one for the team?
There were like 18 cameras over there.
And you were like, all right.
Right. They made me dance. I hated it. But look, I think this game is always going to be popular because of the team aspect. And let's be honest, because of the impact, the violence of the game. It's fun. You know, people love to watch football. They love it. Absolutely. So there's only so far you can go with player safety. Football can only be so safe. It is what it is. You know what I mean? It's guys running around with helmets on.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're not one of those guys that's like, oh, the game is ruined or horrible?
In moments, yeah. I mean, when there's a hit and it's just a guy playing football, playing free safety, and the offense gets a free first down in 15 yards, that drives me nuts. But the hit was still there. I got to enjoy the hit. You just get penalized for it now.
All right, well, thanks for talking to me, dude.
Yeah, no problem.
Do you have anything you want to promote or
no.
Instagram handle? Or
At DeMarcoFar1. Yeah, I'm not very active on Twitter, but I will respond at some point.
Okay, but not Instagram, just the Twitter?
No, come on, dude. I'm too old for that. My daughter has Instagram.
My kids are all over, too. All right, good talk, dude. To bring him in here, and I said, fine.
What's up, brother?
I said, we got to share a mic, because they said, can I do it with him? And I said, if it makes you happy, it makes me happy.
Thank you so much.
All right. So the first question I'll ask for both of you.
Yes.
What does Belichick know that nobody else does?
What does Belichick know that nobody else does? From my perspective, he knows a process of reverse engineering his athletes to put them in the best position to succeed, which is a management style that is unique. Most managers come in with, this is what I do, and you're going to figure it out. I believe from afar, and I hate saying this because I hate him so much.
The Pats.
I hate him and the Pats. But I think what's made me successful is I look at them, even when Tyree started working with, from a marketing standpoint with Vayner Sports, I don't want to make him do things he's not comfortable with. I'm trying to get to know him, and then I'll bring him opportunities that he's going to say yes to, instead of like, oh, I don't want to do a 3-day shoot, or I don't want to read from a teleprompter. And so I think, because I don't know, but I've watched a lot of Patriots football being a diehard Jet fan. My intuition is that he reverse engineers players and puts them in the best position to succeed.
Do you hate him so much just because he's AFC East? If he was somewhere else, you'd respect him?
Do you know that Bill Belichick was the New York Jets head coach
Twice.
And never coached a game.
So that move.
Just like, you know, like, let's just talk about life. He was the Jets coach. What's up, champ? He was the Jets coach twice. And never coached for them, and then went on to be the greatest head coach in NFL history. So what do you think? I think Tyree?
Yeah.
So tell everybody who you are.
Yeah, so I'm Tyree Jackson. I played at University of Buffalo. I play quarterback. I'm getting ready for the draft right now. Signed with Vayner Sports. So, I mean,
Good call.
Yeah, definitely. So for me, I mean, just growing up watching Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, you know, they've always been kind of at the top. I don't have any ties to any team, so I think he's a great coach, and I loved what they've done, and you know, I think that they do a good job of just staying consistent. They're consistent each year. They kind of go about it the same way. And come this time of the year, they're always playing for the Super Bowl or deep playoff run. So,
And it's just true. And now I got to just tell everybody, because this actually happened. I had a nightmare 4 days ago that Tyree got drafted by the Patriots.
Well, if you guys do what you do, it's probably going to happen. But I have to ask you. Yes. I just met your brother.
Yes.
You've got to, beyond pinch yourself. I'm here with my brother.
Yes.
At the Super Bowl, repping athletes. How much are you like, this is my life?
You know, AJ and I are really bad at smelling roses, but once we're bad at smelling roses.
Or celebrating wins.
That's right.
I asked him how to.
But once in a blue moon, we'll get into some sort of quick text. We actually just did it, but it had less to do with the Super Bowl, I think. Nonetheless, yes, it's remarkable. And if we had this conversation, if we saw the things that are happening in our lives 20 years ago, the way we were sports fans and in our youth, and we're obviously 11 years apart, it's really cool.
But even with the success you had prior to the agency, it's such a whole new. I'm not a shoe guy, so I don't care about that. But this to me is we're gonna say we're gonna rep athletes, and then they're actually gonna take us seriously. And I'm shopping. I'm living freaking.
Jerry Maguire.
Met Lee Steinberg, by the way. You met Lee, by the way?
Yeah, I think so.
Amazing guy. Anyway,
to me, of course, and where it's even more important is the following, which is, we're not just gonna be in it. We're gonna be the single best sports agency in the history of the industry.
Because
we're great, and we're good people, and we're talented, and we're patient. So, I'll be very frank. What's exciting about Tyree and Allen Robinson, who just came on with us, like for me, these guys are going to be the OGs of it, and they're going to benefit the most. They're going to be the original crew. So I'm forever, when I'm 73, going to be putting them on and their kids on, because they were the ones that helped along the way. And then it's going to be this. I mean, it's been written, my friend.
So besides the I'm going to teach them how to do social and have that personality I'm asking you to explain to the audience what you're going to do as a sports agency.
I'm going to support them as men. Right? I'm just going to be there for them. When their mother dies, when they want to sign a second
deal. So the real life Jerry Maguire.
I think so, yeah. I know so.
How big can your roster get? How big can your roster be?
Well, we're doing it with VaynerMedia now. We have 1,000 employees and we do $200 million. The answer is a lot if you surround when I look at Tyler, it scares me to know what Tyler's going to be able to do. He may not want to do it with me. I understand that, but quite a bit. You could scale when you, Patriots have had a lot of different players. They've had a lot of different years. They've been different names on the jerseys, but the infrastructure at the top's been the same.
So again, back to that, people watch what he does. And every team says this, next man up. The Patriots, they'll use three running backs in a game you never heard of.
That's because they have the one or two pieces at the top that matter. Here's something that's been consistent. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. One thing that will be consistent at Vayner Sports is me and AJ. Do you understand?
But dude, what about Bill Walsh and Joe Montana? Or even Bill Walsh and Steve Young?
Well, that's why Bill Walsh and Joe Montana won.
But it didn't last 15 years?
Well, that's because ownership is actually the top.
So what does Robert Kraft know that we don't know?
That he has to put people in the position to succeed. You have to feed A players, right? Like when you have an A player, you have to know what he or she wants and you have to feed them. Tyree, let me ask you a question. I'm bouncing around a little bit, changing up the content. As a quarterback, which is the lead in the structure of what's happening on the field, I assume that you've had to adjust and pander to wide receivers, left tackles, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I feel like at a quarterback, you have to know your teammates. You have to know
the guys. You got
to
hold it a little closer.
You got to know the guys around you, know your teammates. And like you said, if you're a little weaker at one position, you gotta, account for that another way. If a receiver can only run these routes, you gotta know that, and you gotta throw the ball a certain way to them. They can't do it. Yeah.
Run that receiver and then forcing and throwing picks.
Yeah, exactly.
So where'd you go to school?
I went to Buffalo.
Okay.
University of Buffalo.
And where is he right now slated to go, or do you know? Or
I mean, what's really the biggest thing I've learned about of football, and I was a diehard fan, and now I'm really in the business, is mock drafts are not that good.
Because
the media doesn't actually know.
Kuiper doesn't know?
They know, they have thoughts, but we have better data. I have way better data now, and we still don't know, right? We're talking to actual scouts, actual GMs, and some of them are having actual conversations with you. They're not smoke signaling you, but I don't know, like, by the media standards, people have Tyree in the third round on average. There's people that think he can go second round. There's people that think he can go even late first if he gets crazy in Indianapolis. There's people that think he can go fourth round. And he's, what I like about him is, listen, I'm speaking for you. You'll speak. Let me tell you why I desperately was holding my breath that Tyree would sign with VaynerSports as we've worked on this journey. I just don't think he's going to give a crap where he goes. Will he be pissed if he goes sixth round? Let me save you time. He'll be pissed. But then the next day's going to start, and we're going to focus that he's in Cleveland or Cincinnati or Los Angeles.
How long have you dreamed about the, you know, whether it's in the big room or sitting on the couch with your mom and, like, that day, like, coming?
I think ever since, you know, I picked the football up and started playing when I was 5 years old, you know, it's one of those things that's always the goal, but it's not the end goal. The end goal is to win a lot of games and continue to play, go to the Super Bowl, those things. So I think it's just another step in the process, and it's just another thing that, you know, just like you want to play Division I football, it's just another thing, and you got to keep going.
All right. Well, I know Gary says, I'm not going to spend time working on my weaknesses. However, I feel like with athletes, it might need to be my footwork, my whatever.
No, that's exactly right. And I talk about leaning into your strengths and not dwelling on your weaknesses. And so I have to do a better job clarifying. Certain weaknesses can destroy you. Certain weaknesses can destroy you. And so you've got to make certain weaknesses palpable. You know, he's a huge dude. He's going to be the biggest fucking quarterback in football, right?
Are
so,
you?
So
how tall are you?
6'7".
So his windup is going to be different than a guy that's 6'1". So you got to reverse engineer. We got to bounce. I appreciate it.
Dude, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Been to one of these before?
Yeah.
It's pretty overwhelming.
No, it's fun.
I'm going to the bathroom, and, like, Eric Dickerson is next to me going to the bathroom. Like, that's kind of amazing to me.
Did he fart?
Not impressed easily.
He farted when you used the bathroom?
Waka just said, did he fart? I guess you are not. I know you're a big star and everything, but come on, dude. Who would impress you? Who have you ran into?
Man, I'm impressed. Like, I'm not like the guy I want to walk by people and toot my chin up. Like, I'm impressed.
There are some guys like here that are like that.
The only people going to make me jump out the gym is, like, a wrestler, like, childhood people.
Who?
Link. Like, people in my childhood.
Oh, wrestlers?
Oh, yeah. If I see, like, Undertaker or somebody, slick.
You know, DDP was here earlier.
Diamond Dallas Page?
Yeah, he lives here.
What?
You didn't know he lives here?
He's here right now?
He's been here the last 3 days. I will happily make an introduction. If
he in here right now, definitely.
I can't believe you didn't know he lives here. He trains up in Marietta, dude.
No, bro.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a few Atlanta questions, all right? What is your go-to Waffle House meal?
All-star meal.
Always?
All-star.
Okay.
Always.
All right, rank these in importance to you. Falcons, Hawks, Braves, United.
United, number one. Definitely. I say it got to be Falcons, Hawks, then Braves.
Now, the United is a lot of favorites for, let's say, the in-town gentrified crowd. I'm surprised to hear a man who did not grow up with soccer.
I love it.
Really?
I love it.
Bro, you're all about it.
I love it more than everything.
Did they have you come out and sing the anthem or anything?
Nah, I'm not good at that. But I wouldn't even embarrass myself.
Have you ever been asked to sing a national anthem?
Nah, I'm not. I don't want it.
That's not your...
Nah, I can't do it.
Are you playing at halftime?
Nah, I'm all right.
Who is at halftime, by the way?
Big Boy,
right,
and a Dudgeon Fam, I think it is.
Because there's so many, like, parties and sideshows.
Organized Noise and Big Boy,
right.
The Atlanta origin,
right. So, for you, how much, you know, I talked to some guys about this. Like, Atlanta was always like, hey, we're not New York, but we're okay. And then, like, it took a while for us to be like,
we're New York.
No, Atlanta is Atlanta. We don't need to try to be. This sound or that sound.
We're the new New York, the new L.A.
Right?
It's Atlanta. It's amazing.
And there's nothing there, like, that's not going to go back. Like, we're not going to stop to not being recognized as.
We're recognized. Hey, you other states, stand up on your own. It's amazing, though. Atlanta is different. I think Atlanta would have had Super Bowl would have more. Effect. It'd have been more of an effect if, like, the whole knee situation never happened.
If the whole...
The knee with Kaepernick never happened. Atlanta would have just been way more excited.
Because?
Yeah, man. It should have stood up for the players.
But he was with the Niners.
But he stood for culture. And his, the culture he stood up for predominantly dominates Atlanta.
And you think...
If you ask anybody a question, are you excited? They'd be kind of like, me, I'm excited.
I'm totally lost on this Kaepernick thing. How is that affecting us?
It is. Nobody wanted a knee.
Nobody wanted him?
No. Who knee? Who nailed the knee?
He did first.
All right. But did the NFL applaud him, have open hands, open arms?
No, he's being, what do you call
it? But why did he knee? For people of color.
Right.
People all
right. Right.
Where are you at in Atlanta?
I live in the West End.
All right. Like, what is who made Atlanta pop?
Right, of course.
All right. All right. So if the NFL would have been agreeing with the knee, whole fucking city would have been going crazy.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm just saying, but it lets you know. Like, a lot of people be afraid to be like, yo, I like the NFL. I'm like, how could y'all be mad for Super Bowl, but you're not mad for every game? I swear, it's like an oxymoron.
Right.
But for me, I just love it anyway.
Hey, I think you know my friend Zach, the photographer.
Of course. You know Zach?
Yeah. Zach's a close friend of mine.
All right. Zach is a real friend.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know he knows sort of like all of y'all.
Yeah,
he
knows the celebrities.
But I didn't know specifically. No, I love that.
We definitely got drunk together.
Yeah, so back in the day. He doesn't drink anymore. Friend. I know that.
No, that's old.
Right?
This is old.
Right.
I'm grown. I got a 13-year-old. It's real now.
How old are your kids?
My daughter's 13.
You just have one?
Yeah.
You going to keep it that way?
Nah. I'm going to plug her with more. Plugging in like headphones.
I have three. I would say stop there. Three is max.
I want 20.
Well, listen, I would love to have a longer show. I have this Atlanta show, right? And I want to highlight more people in Atlanta. So I would love to sit down with like a longer chat with you when you got, you know, make some time.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll get Zach to shoot it, right?
I got you.
Tell Zach. Tell
word
on here.
It.
Tell Zach he's got to shoot it.
Zach, you got to shoot this.
Okay. All right, man. Thank you so much.
All right.
See you. So you were here like a few weeks ago with my buddy Yoshi.
That's right.
And I was like, tell your boy Craig to come to my show. And he said you were like busting his balls about it. Like, I don't know, who is he, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I gotta beat the fucking Super Bowl to get your attention.
I remember he said, because when I was coming in, it was, that was the weekend that I was here at the Punchline. And he said, can I have you do a friend of mine's podcast? And I had media going on. I was like, I don't know, when do you want to do it? And then he had mentioned the Super Bowl week. He said he can get you next time you come back. And I said, text me when I come back.
I will not take
back.
It personally because I'm a spiritual giant. Now,
okay, good.
I want to tell you that listening to Stern back in the day, Baba Booey here, by the way.
Yes.
I said hello.
Yeah, Baba Booey.
He would not do a video with me. He would just do a picture.
Really?
And I gave him a hard time. And he's like, what do you want? I just did a picture with you. But anyhow, I'm in the car.
He said, what do you want?
You know, when I kind of was like, what he's like saying, like, what do you want, dude? I just gave you a picture. Like,
yeah.
Get off my back, which I appreciate. People like him a lot, but not here. Yeah. Nobody knows who he is here.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so I'm listening to Stern back in the day, and you were the first guy that did impressions that nobody did.
Yeah.
And I'm in my car fucking howling.
Yeah.
Because you're doing, like, nobody did Kinison.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
The real Kinison, not just the screaming.
Yeah.
And Pacino that way. So first of all, just thank you for bringing humor into my life.
Oh, my God. Thank you for saying that. It's very kind of you. And I always wanted to do impressions that nobody else does. There's a couple that I do that other people do, and I'm kind of embarrassed. Like, I'm kind of embarrassed that I do a Christopher Walken.
Everybody does a Christopher Walken. It seems like every other fucking guy does this voice.
Of course.
But they usually hit the same note. They go, hey, how, hey,
right,
how.
Right.
You know? And it's like a bouncy gym thing, and so I'm kind of embarrassed that I do a Christopher Walken. Al Pacino, I guess some people do Al Pacino stuff, but I always loved that idea, and it came from hey, wait a second, Al Pacino's like almost 80 and he just had twins. How funny would it be if we had one of the babies on the show and you could have a regular conversation with a baby that sounds like Al Pacino, and we can pull it off because this is radio,
right?
So it's all theater of the mind. I wrote a script. Nobody thought it was funny except for Howard. Thank God. Only Howard and I thought it was funny. And Howard said, oh, we got to do this. And it was just, we would regularly talk to Al Pacino's baby, where Howard would say, okay, so now we're being joined by Al Pacino's baby. Man, what is it like being Al Pacino's baby? What do you like to do for fun?
What do I like to do for fun? I like to pee. You like to pee? I love my mother, Beverly D'Angelo, Whenever she changes my diapers, I give her a quick squirt right in the fucking face. Hoo-wah!
How likes it
because she's a whore.
Yeah, it was terrible.
So how has Super Bowl week been for Baby Pacino? Like, who have you seen that you are impressed by?
I have been hanging out, shitting my pants all day long. Don't give a fuck because everybody here looks like the bottom of my diaper. Cock-a-doody-poopy. Hoo-wah!
Yeah, it's... What would a baby care about here at the Super Bowl?
Any famous celebrities that you've seen that...
Not unless I can piss on their kids, because I'm a baby myself. Hoo-ah.
Yeah. Al Pacino's baby was just the dumbest, silliest idea.
Right, but I'm in my car, like, fucking, like, seriously howling, dude. Again, because nobody did it.
Yeah, there were other guys that I would say... what if, because my Arnold Schwarzenegger impression wasn't that strong, and I said, well, what if we could say this was Arnold Schwarzenegger's retarded brother, and then, because that way I can get away with my bad impression, which is just,
not very woke to say retarded, by the way,
I know.
In 2019.
I know, so I
would
say,
what's the guy to do?
I would say, Arnold, well, here's the thing, my family is deaf.
No, I heard your story.
And so, growing up in a deaf family, I learned that it was freeing to make jokes. And the most insensitive deaf jokes I have ever heard in my life were from my own deaf family. Like,
right.
Like my sister, I remember last year I threw a surprise birthday party for my sister, which, like, everything for deaf people is a surprise. I realize that. But I threw a surprise birthday party for my sister. At dinner, my sister is sitting across the table from me. She's signing to me in sign language. And she says... Do you want to hear a good joke? And I said, sure. And she said, me too. And I was like, oh my God, what the fuck? Like, and that's where I learned my sense of humor is that if you remove all the sensitivity, it's very freeing, you know? And the sensitivity is only what you apply to it yourself. It's like Yoshi. The reason why I love watching Yoshi is there is zero sensitivity. Not only does he not have sensitivity, he plows through barriers that is, I feel, refreshing for people. Like, people drop their jaws and go, oh my God, like, he just plows through.
His opening joke, there's no, like, massaging of the whatever, right? There's no lube.
Yeah, what's the opening joke that you're thinking of?
Whatever he did, that was horrible.
I just remember him saying, I saw a midget the other day, and I know you're not supposed to call them midgets. You're supposed to call them an abomination of God. And it's like, what the hell? Like,
so, ladies and gentlemen, he's doing a Yoshi face, by the way, which my listeners have no idea who Yoshi is, but an Asian comic who you look exactly, and you're like, Yoshi, is that real? Like, is that accent like put on? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yoshi and I started out 25 years ago together, and Yoshi, when we first started, worked in a porn shop in downtown Seattle. Never talked about his job, except maybe once a year he would complain about his job and he'd bring up something that you'd go, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I remember one time being in the back of a comedy club. Me, Yoshi, Josh Wolf. Josh Wolf went on to do Chelsea Lately, and he's a really successful comedian who's written a bunch of TV shows. So Yoshi and I...
Sorry, I'm going to set up my camera while we're talking this. Get a little bit on video before you go.
So, are we going to set up before I start?
No, keep going.
All right.
Keep going.
So we're all complaining about our jobs, and Josh is complaining about, man, I need a job that'll give me flexible hours so I can tour. And I'm complaining about, dude, I just want a job that'll pay me. I'm only making $6 an hour. And then Yoshi just cocks back and goes... Yeah, some guy tried to steal a double-head dildo from my store today. And I said, what? And he goes, yeah, I saw him put it in his pants, and I chased him out of the store. And then I ended up wrestling with him with a double-head dildo, and then I ended up hitting him over the head with double-head dildo. It's like right across the street from Pike Place Market. That's very embarrassing. And I was like, I remember just thinking, wait a minute, where do you work at? And he said, at the porn shop on First Avenue. I go, oh. I don't know why. I thought you worked at Starbucks, and I was thinking, why are they selling double-headed dildos at Starbucks? What the fuck is going on? And then, years later, when I first moved to Los Angeles, I moved in with Kyle Cease, who's a stand-up comedian from Seattle, and Yoshi. And the first weekend that I moved in with Yoshi and Kyle, Yoshi left me a message that I still have saved on a CD. He left me a message that said, boop. Hey, Craig, it's Yoshi. I don't know what you're doing this weekend, but a friend of mine, he's a big porn director, and he needs five guys. It's just from the waist down. But he needs five guys to come on this girl's face. It's $100 if you want it. And I went, holy shit. And I called him Yoshi, and I said, Yoshi, it's Craig. First of all, thank God I don't need $100. Secondly, I definitely need some film credits, but I'm not looking to get, like, you know, Men in Black or Schindler's Fist or, you know, How Stella Got Her Throat Packed or whatever it is you're filming out here. So so I didn't take him up on the financial offer. Although I think he was doing it just as a considerate, hey, I can get you some money if you want.
But I have to say, as a comic, like, didn't you want to do it, like, just for the bit?
Not. There are a lot of things I want to do just for the story. Like, Josh called me to offer me a gig at the Playboy Mansion and said, listen, I'm just letting you know you're going to bomb. Everybody bombs. Nobody cares about the show, but for some reason they always have this comedy performance at this charity event, and everybody's waiting for hookers to show up. They load this property up with hookers.
Yeah, Gary has talked about it on the show before.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's nobody, like, they just want you to shut the fuck up. And I said, you know what? I'm doing it because I want the story. I want the story of saying, I bombed at the, and I took pictures, and it was amazing. So I took the gig for the story. But the porn shoot was like, that's definitely way out of my comfort zone to do that. So I couldn't. I just couldn't. So
to just shoot on a girl's face.
Yeah, I just, on camera.
It's only from waist down.
Yeah, I just, you know what? I'm just not that comfortable doing that. So I actually do know a comedian that works with me a lot. Every time I go to Edmonton, there's a comedian I know who's done a few of those things. He's done gangbangs, and it's interesting to hear the stories.
But you don't want to be that guy.
There's no way in a million years I would want to be that guy. Yeah, I just can't, man. It's like, you know, I'm just not that. I mean, if you see the video that I shot at the Super Bowl this week, it's all about how I'm just not comfortable with myself. And I was asking all the football players. I asked all the Rams and all the Patriots how it's my birthday in 2 weeks. How do I look like you in 2 weeks? And one of the guys in the Rams said, pray to God. And I was like, all right, that's fair enough.
And who are you here shooting with this week?
For myself. I send it to the teams. I send it to the markets that the cities are from.
Right, but how do the cities say, yes, we want this from you?
I give it. I have all my friends in the media. I have tons of
so
friends.
So they just hook it up for
oh,
you?
Yeah, I've been doing radio and TV appearances all over the country for over 20 years. So I just call
Are you tired?
Not at all. No. I want to slow down so I can do more TV. I'm starting to do a lot more voiceover stuff. So,
it seems like the voice gig would be, right?
Oh, the voice gig is great.
Right. It would seem like, that would seem like easier than traveling around the country every week.
But traveling around the country is where the money's at. That's where the real money's at. I mean, I'm not making, like, you know, huge money from doing voiceover stuff, but I'm building up a resume, which will be helpful to get money later.
Once upon a time, it used to be like, how can I put butts in seats, right?
Right.
But now it seems like if you're just making cool content and people want shit from you and you can get on CBS doing Caliendo's job or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's always about feeding into that thing, which is what I want to take 2019. I want to do more projects that will feed into that and put more butts in seats so I can keep getting better gigs. And you know, I've been lucky that I haven't had a real job in 19. I've been paying my mom's bills for 19 years. So, and I just was finalizing all my info. I'm surprising my mom next week and taking her to Hawaii for her 75th birthday. So,
dude,
her and a friend of hers, which sounds sweet, but I bring her and a friend so that I can take both of them and go, all right,
so they can
have fun.
Right, exactly.
Dinner's at 6, you know.
So when you do your show now,
yeah,
do you mix the voices within, or do you do, like, regular sort of set and then, like, okay, they probably came for the voices, let me end with the voices?
Yeah, it's a big mix. I started out right from the beginning talking about growing up in a deaf family now, which I was never comfortable talking about before. It took me a while to get comfortable to talk about. So I talk about how I grew up. And then that leads into all the stories. And I usually get good at impressions by repeating a story and doing the voice of the person in the story. If you have a unique voice, it's just easy for me to snack, you know. And I don't even think about the voice. I think about the person, you know, like Yoshi.
No, you become Yoshi. That face is Yoshi when you're doing it with, you know what I mean?
Yoshi is very polite. And if you knew him, he's this is almost like a perfect impression.
It's know? Unbelievably dead on, but also if your face did slightly more, it would be De Niro, by the way. I don't know if you noticed that. If you go slight,
if you do Yoshi, it's a little bit.
Right?
I like doing porn. And like if it's Adam Sandler, it's like I'm almost uncomfortable and I can't look at you, shibby doo. If it's Al Pacino, it's looking you in the eye and going, I'm asking you, tell me, I am an old soul. Forget about it. Hoo-ah. Or if it's Sam Kinison, there's like a slur. There's this, you know, the way he cups the mic and the way he looks, it's almost like he's got almost like a beady eyed look before he launches. Oh!
But that's what I'm saying is that everybody did the scream, but the whatever that's in his mouth, that like the story, like I don't know if you actually said these lines when he's talking about the necrophiliac story.
Yeah.
Give the story to me.
Yeah.
And I think I heard you say that.
I've told stories about him, but I've never done his bits except for once. Jim Brewer and I did a thing together called Comedy Covers, where it was all these comedians got together, and Artie was there too. We did this big thing where we did comedians getting on stage, paying tributes to their favorite bits by other comedians, and doing the bits.
Right.
And sometimes they do it straight as that person. Sometimes they would do it as somebody else. Here's, you know, Gilbert Gottfried doing a Mitch Hedberg joke or whatever. And I went up and did Sam's, I think about Jesus. Jesus. It was a Jesus piece. About, you know, I know that Jesus had to be tired. I know that this guy, because people are coming going, where is he? Where's the guy with a gift? You know? And Jesus is in the bathroom going, yeah, I'll be out in a second if you can just let me pee for a second here. And but then there's like stories about Sam. Every time we do Sam Kinison on stage in Hollywood, it's a weird reaction. Specifically in Hollywood at the Comedy Store, people don't laugh. They just go, Jesus. Like they get weirded out by the impression, you know? And it's pretty cool to like scare people, you know? You know you've like touched a nerve there.
So who else is in the repertoire these days?
There's that whole idea that I love doing bad impressions. You know, like I can't do a Mark Wahlberg impression, so I do this thing called out of breath Mark Wahlberg where I just go, hey guys. What are you guys doing? You better hurry up and finish up this segment. I got to get out of here and take a shit. Come on, feel it. Feel the vibration. And it's only because I can't do a Mark Wahlberg. I just call it out of breath Mark Wahlberg.
But remember, what's his name did it from SNL, and it was equally as bad. It's hey, like, how's your mother?
Tell your mother I said hi. All right, tell your mother. And I don't even know where the fuck that came from. It's like, where's the tell your mother thing line from? I didn't even get that. But I love hearing a good impression. I love doing impressions. It's always been something that's just fun for me.
Right.
So I got to run out of here, man. I got to head out. I got to be over to my buddies at CBS. But
tell people where they can find more about you, Craig.
Go to getgas.com. Getgas with two S's.com or my social media stuff, Twitter or Instagram, @CraigGasComedy. @CraigGasComedy with two S's.
You're the man, dude.
Thank you, brother.
This is your girl, Regina Love from NBC The Voice. Don't you just love it?
Now, did you say you've been working with Evander for 18 years?
Yes. Yes, I travel with him.
As what?
As, well, his singer. I mean, every time I just would travel with him, he started a record label, Real Deal Records. And I would do all of the national anthems, like for the fights, for different things, different events. Evander would give a lot of events for charity and for the children in the community of Atlanta. We would have about 10,000 people. I would be the host for that. And I would do whatever he's doing. And if anybody's doing anything, like I had the pleasure of meeting so many powerful celebrities, from Sidney Poitier to Don King to, I mean, Cicely Tyson. I've done movies as well, so I'm an actress as well. So that's what I do with him. So it's entertainment.
Did you have to stand in line like regular people for The Voice?
Yes, I did.
Really?
85,000 people tried out for the show. And I was the only person that she picked out of my group, and it was about 20 people in there.
And where was it?
Atlanta, Georgia.
No, I know we're in Atlanta, but where was what physical?
Oh, it was at the Apparel Mart. You had to get there. It was Valentine's Day. I'll never forget. And it was
about. Did you just say Valentine's?
Valentine's
Because she keeps it real,
Day.
Ladies and gentlemen. Valentine's.
Okay. Valentine's. Valentine, or however you want to say it. I'm from Detroit, so we say Valentine. And let me tell you, it was so many people out there. We had to stand in line at 5 in the morning.
So how does a woman like yourself you've been working with The Real Deal.
Yes.
You've been in television movies.
Yes.
And you just said, I'm going to humble myself and stand in line with these folks.
The reason why I did
it. And you're not, no offense, you're not 19 years old.
Let me tell you something.
As am I, I'm not either.
No. I'm going to tell you the reason why I did it. And give me your name one more time.
Matt.
Matt, let me tell you, the reason why I did it, because I wanted people to know that dreams can and will come true. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you've gone through in your life. They called me the dream resurrector on NBC because I wanted people to know that. Before I did the show, I had just lost my son, my father, and my mother, and my nephew committed suicide just in that order. But I would not let them use that for my storyline because I didn't want people to feel sorry for me.
But that's interesting because, you know, that's kind of like, how much cancer can we give this person for the story?
I'm not
like, reality
it.
TV wants
I'm
to do that.
I'm not doing it.
Right.
My gift is going to draw you to me. Nothing else. But Evander did go with me. But that didn't do it because they didn't see him until after I finished singing.
All right. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
This ensemble going on. When you wake up in the morning.
Yes.
It's not like this.
No.
So how much of that as a performer, do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like getting, you're a show person.
Right.
And that's part of it.
That's part of
the
it.
Glasses, the bling.
It's part of it.
So.
Me, I'm regular. I am regular. What I like to do, I get up in the morning. First of all, I thank the Lord for waking me up to see another day. Okay. Because some folks didn't do it. All right. So thank you, God, for waking me up. I get myself together. You know. Get myself together because a lot of times, I'm doing a thing. Affirmations, because I want to have goals that I want to have set. This day I'm going to have a good day. This is what's going to happen this day. I'm going to speak positive things. I'm not letting negative things. If they do come, I'm going to deal with it accordingly and keep it moving.
Can I ask you for some advice?
Sure.
I try to stay super positive.
Yeah.
I've been doing gratitude lists every morning for about 2 years.
Yes.
And posting them on Instagram and Facebook, and then other yes. people are like, thank you, I'm going to do this.
Absolutely.
And I really try hard. However, mm-hmm. it's super easy for me to slip into...
I know.
Dah!
I know.
Right?
Right, right.
Absolutely. So I want to ask you how you... I guess judgment would be my biggest, like... Achilles heel, right? It's mm-hmm. so easy to judge.
Right.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I absolutely know.
Like, my friend will send me a screenshot.
Right, right.
Can you believe this person said this?
Right.
And I'm like,
Yeah, I know. But you know what? First of all, you got to know we're human first.
Okay.
And what I try to do, I try to like, you know, and I don't care how many people say that, well, I don't want anybody to think I'm a role model, but you know what? You kind of are, especially when you're in the business that we're in. People look to you to say positive, but then I have to let you know, hey, look, I'm human. I'm having one of these days, honey. One thing about me is I'm real. If I'm having a crappy day, I'm having a crappy day. Okay. So, but give me a second.
It's just one of them days.
Come on.
Do you remember that song?
Yes! Just one of those days, of course. But I just deal with it, and I get over it. I don't let it linger, though. You know what I'm saying? Because it takes up too much of my energy. Negative energy takes up too much of your energy when you can be using it in positive things. And I try to tell even everybody that I'm around, look, I don't want to hear the stuff. Deal with the stuff that you can deal with. Stuff you can't. Okay? Because it's going to have its own thing anyway. Let it work itself out. That's what I've learned. And I'm telling you, when you still say the positive things, if you really notice it, when you put all those positive affirmations, whatever it is that you do, have you noticed that your life has been a little bit better, though?
Yes.
Each and every time. Even when something arises and comes your way, but you hit, let me tell you, those things have to come your way. Because you know why? Let me tell you what an older lady told me. I used to say, oh, without a test, there is no testimony. She said, no, honey, without a passing of the test, there's no testimony. Because if you don't pass that test, guess what? That test's gonna keep coming around. Does that make sense?
Do you know which test hits me every day really hard in the face?
What?
My insane children.
Guess what? What did your mother and father say about you? My mom told me this. You know what? You're gonna get it back. You're going to get it back. I was like, you know what I'm saying?
But you know the saying, if I ever said XYZ to my parents,
yes.
I'm telling you.
Trust me. These are a new breed of children out here now. But I'm going to tell you why. You know, the timeout. Did you have a timeout?
No.
Heck no. Your mama did what to your behind?
I believe we know.
Tore it up.
Right. Okay. We cannot do that in 2019.
Let me tell you something. I'm doing it to mine and my grandbabies. Because I'm going to tell you what.
You don't think? I'm afraid they're going to call the police on me.
And guess what? You're going to be eating the phone. That's it. So tell the operator 911 as it's going down your throat, you're going to be eating the phone.
I'm legit scared of that. My wife and I are like...
No, you can't be. I'm just kidding, you know. But no, you have to let them know. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you spoil the child. I'm not saying beat your child.
Right, right.
Please, I have to do a disclaimer. No, no, no.
Right.
But you have to reprimand your children and let them know when they're wrong. I want him to express. No, you're not going to express yourself. Because let me tell you something. I could not be in the room when grown folks were talking. And you better not open your mouth to try to say anything. Excuse me, what? We're talking. You get out of here. And that's the thing. That we didn't have all the social media and the internet stuff. Stuff that's on the internet, the stuff that's on television, you know, we didn't have that.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
I want to know who you grew up listening to and watching that you said, that's going to be me.
You know what? I'm going to tell you something. You would probably laugh. I love Carol Burnett.
I watch Carol Burnett.
I loved Carol Burnett. And I love... I mean, all of the greats in music, because my house is like a house of refuge. You know, if you would mess up, they would send you to your Aunt Dorothy house, which was my mother. She'll get your behind straight and make you a perfect citizen, get you a job, and you're gone on the way. So I had my cousins would play instruments, so I know everything from Led Zeppelin to Three Dog Night to Chicago to everything. It's like, are you kidding me? They look at me like, you know all that? Yeah, they were musicians. So I had my house was really kind of crazy. But, so that's why I just love to listen to music, all types of music, all genres of music, and I would like television shows because I would want to act. And that's why Carol Burnett was one of my favorites because she did so many different roles. I can do everything. You know what I'm saying? Looking at her and learning from her.
Right.
Yeah.
She's still with us, Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
So what have you been on? You were saying you're on some Tyler Perry stuff?
Yeah, I did Madea's Family Reunion, okay. And I also did Mama Flora's Family. It was Alex Haley's last movie before he passed away.
Right.
In his last book. And also the movie called The Gospel. And I'm working on some things myself of my own.
Well, with the whatever, the voice can give you a
yes.
whole nother, right?
Yes.
Launch you into the...
Yes, and it's so crazy. I call it faith and fate. You know, it just happened all of a sudden. And I said, God, you got jokes. You wait till I'm this age to just pop off everything. But guess what? I don't look it.
Well, you know what they say.
Come on. What? Come on, tell me. Go ahead.
Black don't crack.
You're absolutely right.
That helps, right?
That helps. But let me tell you something. You got to live right. And you got to eat right now, for real.
Right.
I'm telling you. It's like now you can't really eat nothing. It's like, what are you going to do? Just drink water?
Right.
Because every time you eat something, oh, no, that's going to cause this. Oh, that's going to cause. Just in moderations.
All right.
You know, I'm not super like, I'm not eating meat no more. I'm not going to lie to you, honey. I got to eat some meat.
Me too.
Until... You know, I come to the grips. I'm going to just, I can have a break from it, but I'm not giving it up. Don't talk to me.
Right.
You know.
All right.
But yeah.
And so you're here now?
I'm here now.
Okay.
In Atlanta.
All right. Let me ask you some Atlanta-based questions.
Yeah.
What is your go-to Waffle House meal?
Come on. Let me see. Steak and eggs.
Yeah? And how do you take your eggs?
The hash brown. Scrambled with cheese. Honey.
Right.
And look at the hash brown smothered, covered, and what? Scattered, smothered, and covered.
Don't look at her.
First of all,
can we talk about those pants going on over there?
Right, liquid drop.
So who can you introduce this person who
yes,
we're talking to?
That's LaShawn Fuqua. She is a part of my management team, and that is Miss Kim. Oh my God, I'm gonna tell you Kim Moore.
LaShawn Fuqua.
Fuqua. Sean.
She's saying just call me Sean. Okay. Yeah, can I interview her later? She seems like she's a very exciting woman.
And of course, you know, that is like...
What? First of all, did you hear what that Australian dude said?
What?
Did you hear what he said?
What?
He said, big white men in Australia love you. You didn't hear him say that?
Oh, my...
I don't...
Right.
Okay.
I have fans in Budapest, Hungary. I don't even know how to spell Budapest. But, I mean, I don't even know where it is. But, yeah, they ask me all the time, and I have to come. I want to go there.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want to go to Australia, too. Definitely.
Right.
I have to.
No, I definitely want to go there as well. Okay,
yeah.
So
I know, right?
finish this sentence. Are you ready?
Okay.
I take Marta blank.
Nowhere. I've never been. I'm sorry. I don't know how to catch her. I don't know where to go. I mean, yeah, I know you.
How long have you been here?
You know what? I was at Marta one time from the airport. I take Marta from the airport to my destination near my house.
What part of town are you in?
I'm in Johns Creek.
Okay, you don't got to say.
I'm sorry.
Johns Creek?
I'm sorry.
What in the hell are you doing in Johns Creek?
Everybody has that's all I knew.
When I was a child,
when I
was a child, there was no Johns Creek.
I know. It was Alpharetta when I first moved here.
Right. It's still it's so it's north of Alpharetta.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to move in town. What the hell is out there?
You know what? Everything is out there now. My children went to all the schools there, from Crabapple to Mel Milton. Then they transferred over to, you know, Shake Rag, all that, you know. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't know any other part of Georgia. My sister moved here first.
Okay.
So that's where she lived. So that's how I knew.
Okay. Rank these in importance to you. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Falcons, Braves, Hawks, United.
Okay. Hawks, United, Falcons.
Braves?
Braves.
Almost no one says the Hawks first. Almost no one. Everybody's about the soccer team these days. Waka Flocka Flame was just here. He chose the United.
That's my nephew.
That's your...
Get out of here!
You didn't see us over there yet. They just got married.
And That's my nephew.
I sent a video because I wasn't able to make it in Mexico, and he cried. I would have loved to have been there to see that.
Do you know my friend Zach, the photographer?
Yes.
What, yes, white guy. Yeah. You have to whisper. You don't have to whisper.
I love.
Is he white?
I'm sorry. Yes.
That's amazing.
That's crazy.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was the nephew that I was telling you about that committed suicide, and I wrote a song called No RIP because of internet bullying and bullying in schools, and yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, but you know what? No, he's an angel. Yeah, it's K.O. Red. He's an angel.
Yeah. I totally lost train of thought.
Yeah,
because
no,
I was because I was like, that's crazy.
Going away.
But yeah, so no, almost, we have not a lot of love for the basketball team. Is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Maybe you could.
I do the national anthem for the Hawks and the Clippers game. And
right.
I do the national anthem a lot, but I mean, you know, now.
Right.
I don't know. You know, but I'm telling you, it's all about love, though. I really want to say that. I love that soccer team. I could not believe when I tell you they kicked butt.
Right.
I mean, what? They're a force to be reckoned with. They need me. I want to be, you know what I want to do? I want to be there in that game. I want to go there and sing. I want to get the players to do stuff. You know what I'm saying? Do something different.
Well, you should, I mean, they're about that. You should make some phone calls. What's the best festival in Atlanta?
Come on, you know the music, Sweet Auburn Fest, it's food, you know that. But you know, Atlanta's starting to be the new Hollywood, you know.
Oh, I have noticed.
Have you noticed?
I have noticed. Tyler Perry Studios is 10 minutes from my house.
Really?
Yeah, I live in the West End.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Come down from your perch.
Oh, come on. Don't
come
even
visit us, the regular,
you know,
people.
I am everywhere. The only thing about Detroit and Atlanta, you can get anywhere from Detroit in 10 minutes in Atlanta.
Right. But that's why I stay down here. I don't go up. I just stay east-west. I go east-west.
But aren't you sometimes the tussle and bustle? The traffic.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't sit in the traffic because I don't go. If you get on.
So you just get on MARTA. You just get on MARTA.
Sometimes I hate MARTA.
Okay.
Do you know why?
Okay, why?
It's MARTA.
You know what? I love you, Matt.
Can we be friends after this?
We are friends. We're family. I don't have friends. I have family.
I was going to ask you another Atlanta-based question.
Yeah.
Are you Kroger or Publix?
Kroger, man. And let me tell you why.
Uh-oh.
You're not going to believe this.
She just put her finger in my face.
I met Bruce Lucia
while I was shopping one day.
And me too. Let me tell you why I love Kroger's. Because when my mother was making her transition, the employees of Kroger's came to my house, cleaned my house for me.
Are you kidding me?
I'm talking about managers. I'm not talking about people that are, and they did not look like me. They did not have my same skin color. They loved my mother that much.
That's amazing.
You're going to make me start crying. But I'm going to tell you, I wrote a song for them, and I'm going to tell Bruce. When I met him, I gave him my card and said, you're going to know who I am. This is before I even went to The Voice. This is before my mother even passed. I met him. And I had wrote a song for Kroger's, and I'm going to sing it right now for you.
I would love to hear you sing it for me right now.
So, Mr. Bruce Lucia, I need you to hear this. And I know some people that know him, too, so you got to get it to him.
I will. We can Instagram it out and everything.
Yes, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I don't want nobody to steal it, though. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I got to get my copyrights on it.
Oh, shoot. I just.
So, we're going to put that disclaimer out there, right?
No, let me get the video on. Hang on. Put the mic.
Okay. And I want him to know that because Kroger's. Kroger's is a store where it's about family. because who would have known? I mean, remember back in the day, if you lived in like wherever you lived, and you have the neighborhood grocery store, and if you didn't even have the money, you know, they'll give you the groceries, you come back. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Kroger's is a store like that I never thought I'd ever, and it was in Alpharetta where I lived. These people, they came, they bought food.
Why didn't you tell me that?
Oh my, just put a little spit on there and you do it.
Oh, come on. Did you she just right. said I'm cute.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm...
Yeah, okay, let her know, man.
I can be cute and married. Can I tell you, can we get real here? Can we, since, right. Honestly, can we be real here?
Right.
I'm gonna say something,
right.
Okay? When we moved back to Atlanta from L.A.,
right.
Okay?
You left L.A.
Longer story. And we would be at the Kroger, right? My wife would take the kids to Kroger every day,
yeah.
And like get them a cookie or whatever.
Yes.
And then one day I came in with the kids and they saw the kids.
Yeah.
The next time my wife came in, they were like, is that your husband? Like, she was like, did you move us back here because African American women are so fond of you? Now I'm going to say something honest. I feel like we can do this.
Yes.
No white woman has ever said that to me. Black women have never been afraid to say, I think you're attractive.
First of all, they're not afraid to do anything.
I think you're cute. I'm not afraid to say you're attractive. And I'm like, why do you think that is? My wife's serious, because it happened with a few of these women in the Kroger. But you understand, like, white women just don't do that. They're just never, like, to just say, I think.
They're not aggressive like we are. Yeah, we're aggressive.
No, but I'm saying it's real and it's honest and it's not like whether some of them they did clearly flirt, but you're not.
Right,
we're just having a conversation.
Right. No, I'm just
but it makes you feel, it makes me feel good.
Right.
I feel phenomenal right now.
Absolutely.
Hot black pants woman said I'm cute.
That's so funny.
All right.
That is so funny.
All right, we'll get her Instagram handle later. Okay.
Okay.
So
okay.
Can we call her Hot Pants from now on?
Right.
Yeah, all right. All right. So now we're going to sing the Kroger song.
Okay. My Kroger jingle is, have a good time, meet friends. Excellent service will never end at Kroger's. We're a willing to please store.
That's awesome.
Isn't that wonderful?
We'll send it to Bruce.
Got to send it to Bruce.
Sing it to Bruce. Well, next time you see him. He goes around.
He goes around, but I'm hardly ever in there at Kroger's anymore because I'm...
Because you're too bougie?
Don't even try it.
Look at all this.
Well, I work very hard for this.
Have you ever heard sometimes less is more, though?
Yeah, but I mean, only thing I have is this. I wear this sometimes. I'm just doing this.
So tell, by the way, people that don't know, tell people like that you're on The Voice. Like, tell people about that stuff.
I'm on NBC. Well, NBC The Voice, the 9th season, is the best season ever in the world.
Of course.
Okay, and I battled Jordan Smith. Jordan Smith, we had the most watched battle in the history of the show right now to this day. So when anybody ever comes to The Voice, from now to the day I close my eyes, they will know who I am. Because they sit them in a room. Let me tell you something. Being on The Voice is no joke. Okay? They send you through a lot of stuff. It's very, very stressful. People think that, oh, that's so what? No. Okay, we had to do, I can't disclose a lot of the things that we had to do, but it's very stressful. But, you know, you have to be tested because, you know, a lot of people, they want to know that you're okay because, you know, there are people that are committed.
Right.
Because they didn't win and things like that. So you have to go through a lot of extensive things. And that's the thing that people don't understand. And a lot of the children, and my kids are like, Mom, it's a competition. And I know you got those kids in your room. And I know they're asking you how to do their stuff. And I did. I'm a mom first.
Of course.
So they were like my babies. And, you know, once they give you your food allowance, that's it. So a lot of them were hungry. So, and I would be cooking, honey. My room was Regina Love's kitchen.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So I know what to do. I know in L.A. they didn't understand L.A.
Right.
A corn dog is $15, honey.
Right.
So you go out there splurging and getting your little steak dinner for $40, $50, and after your money's gone, then you're hungry.
Right.
So they would come.
Right.
Knock on my door, and guess what? You know I fed them.
Right, of course.
Those are my babies.
Right.
So that's what I did, and it was really a really wonderful.
So this most viewed battle.
Yeah.
Was
most
what
battle.
What song?
Like I Can by Sam Smith.
Okay.
And it was amazing. Amazing.
Who are you pointing at? Are they trying to steal you? Are they trying to steal you away? I think all of us are.
I know we are.
About, all right.
But
well, listen.
No, you got to see that battle.
Okay, so listen. Tell people where to find you, social media, blah, blah.
You can find me at I Am Regina Love. That's my Instagram and my Twitter. And my Facebook is Regina Murph Love, M-U-R-F-F. Not Smurf, but Murph.
And you have, you said you have.
I have my own hairline. And I have, yes, I do. It's Regina Love Hair.
Do you have a record coming out?
And we have a record coming out.
Are you on the iTunes?
Venture record. I'm on iTunes.
Now, I have to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Real talk.
Yes.
Does NBC own your ass?
No, they did, but I'm out now. Praise God.
How does one
wait it?
How does one get out?
You have to wait it out. You have to have a good attorney.
Because that's what I'm saying. Because like they're like, listen, we'll give you the shot, but
nine.
What does that mean?
Nine contracts. They got you all over.
Oh, right. I got you.
Everything. Yeah, because see, I've been in the industry all my life, so it's like.
It wasn't your first rodeo.
Right. So we had to make some things perfectly clear. And I'm going to tell you, I have so much love. They loved me, and I was a fan favorite. I had no idea. And when I came for the ninth season, guess what they took away? The phone voting. Come on now. Now, you know, people, especially our people,
we'll pick
make
up.
It too hard.
Right.
They ain't doing it. Okay. I'm not going online. I'm not going to go and go to this book and go to this, push this button. And put. Now, you let me call on the phone. I'm a voter a million times. But if you take the phone away, come on now. Half of the time, they don't know how to get on the internet. But no, I'm just saying. But, and it was unfortunate, especially different age groups,
right?
Because they're not computer savvy, you know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
But their phones. So, but it was good, and I still had a wonderful time. And I'm gonna tell you, I blessed. It was like Lord allowed me to really be a blessing to the show and the host of the show, Gwen Stefani. I'm so honored. She stole me from Adam, and we helped each other through difficult times.
Right.
Yeah, and I did some things. It was some things done that really wasn't supposed to be done, but she didn't care.
That's
and I
awesome.
Had favor,
right?
So, yeah.
Can you give us a few bars of Holla Back Girl? Do you know that one?
I don't know the words. Ain't no Holla Back Girl. Ain't no Holla Back Girl.
All right. Good talk.
Thank you, baby.
That's you. Give me a little check.
Check 1, 2, and you don't stop.
Live here with the Rocket, ladies and gentlemen. Rocket Ismail.
And the show is
College Hall of Fame.
Yo, what's
you know,
good?
I got to be honest with you. There are guys in this room that still talk that way. That old
no
school.
Way.
No, yes, dude. Am I lying?
No, I don't listen to the radio that much, but there's no way that can be.
I'm telling you.
You have to be pulling my leg. Matter of fact, my pants leg. Get off
now
me.
Here's what's crazy, right? I'm looking at you. You have a slightly gray beard.
Yes.
I have a little bit of gray,
mm-hmm.
And it like occurs to me. This woman said, "Oh, are you close to 50?" And I was like, "I can't." Oh shit, I am.
Bruh, let me tell you, I'm knocking on 50's door this year, November.
So I, as a young man, I watched you play in college. Okay,
man.
I'm trying to think. Like, didn't you have like a fantastic Saturday night game, like
you're thinking about the very last game I played in. I'm assuming.
Let's go lay it on me.
Okay, so the last game, Orange Bowl, we're playing Colorado for the second time. We played them in 90 or in the 89.
Did you have two returns for a touchdown?
Okay, now you're thinking about my sophomore year when we played at the Big House against Michigan. And that was when Bo was still the man. And it was a tough. I think they were like ranked number 2 in the country. We may have. Or top 3 or something like that. And we were top 3, I believe. We went up to the Big House. They scored. We returned the ensuing kickoff. And then I think maybe coming out of halftime, they kicked it to us again. And we took it to the house.
We as you, though.
What?
We as you, though.
We. Oh, no. Well, if this was basketball, no, I'm serious. Think about it this way. If this was hoops or baseball, I would agree. But football, kickoff returns, punt returns, man, that's another beast. My job is I can make one guy miss, but as far as the whole picture, yo, you need 10 other cats, man.
No, I appreciate you giving the love to these guys, but I'm saying
I know what you're saying.
That, do you remember? So a few years ago,
right,
and they would say, don't kick it to Hester.
Yeah, right. Oh, heck no, don't kick it to him.
But I'm saying, but you had that. Am I lying?
No, no.
Am I lying that they had that?
No, you're right. You're absolutely correct. But
there's a reason they call you the Rocket.
Indeed, indeed. That was a byproduct. that was a byproduct of that team. And one of the hallmarks of a Coach Holtz team, which was special teams, somebody's going to be fired back there. And special teams, when they get on the field, if a big play is needed, more than likely it was going to happen. That's just how it is. So team concept, understanding, that's why I said we.
So, okay, so how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
49.
Right, so you've got to be, like, if you're 18, 19, I'm like 12, 13.
Okay.
You know, watching you do that,
mm-hmm.
right? And, you know, this concept of, like, don't kick it to that guy, I don't even think that was a thing. Like, they never would have not kicked it to you, even if they think you're a threat.
I think you're right. And a lot of the
I love
reasons,
that none of us can remember.
I think a lot of the reasons why that happened was because maybe what you said, but the coaches that we played against, Bo Schembechler, Bill McCartney, I mean, these were like legendary cats, and their mentality was like, hey, man, you can punch me in the face once, you're not punching me in the face twice. That mentality would lead to people thinking you're not going to say, don't kick it to so-and-so. But that's just how it happened, man.
All right, let me ask you a current question.
All right.
What does Bill Belichick know that the rest of us do not know?
I was thinking about that, and I was watching, I don't know what documentary I was watching, but there was a documentary where he said, we essentially wasted a roster spot on Tom Brady that first year because we saw something in him that we could develop. And it wasn't.
Somebody must be here.
What is happening?
Somebody must be here.
I think that's the Old Spice booth. Whatever he recognized and the ability that he had to recognize what Tom Brady had that he said you couldn't measure, but it was just something about him. And then now we see the results and the proof that nobody else saw. Man, that's pretty substantial and pretty amazing. So he had whatever that is that can identify that.
Right.
All those years ago.
Right.
That's awesome.
Right. What do you think old Lou's got up there that the rest of us don't?
Coach Holtz. The other thing a lot of coaches have, when you look at their pedigree, a lot of them are around a lot of great leaders. Like Coach Holtz. I forget the coach who was Woody Hayes at Ohio State.
Yes.
Like, I think Coach Holtz was on his staff, and when I remember seeing the picture back in the day, and there were other pretty significant, like maybe three or four other significant coaches on that staff, and then he's always had that kind of, I have to prove myself because he was a slight guy growing up, very witty, and like has a small tenacity about him, which when people hear him talk, everybody's amazed after they leave his presence.
Right.
Like, all of those things and a desire to be connected to God. Like, he has a, even though it might not be something that is publicly displayed, when we're in the room, he always talks about love. He always talks about trust. He always talks about commitment. He always talks about his relationship with God. And all of those ingredients combined, I believe, makes for greatness.
So listen, I'm going to let you go because this gentleman was nice enough to loan you, and we're going to talk to him.
That's what's up.
Shortly.
Okay, I'm about to pass the mic.
Oh, my God. No. I'm going to get him for a while you guys do your thing.
Okay.
I'm going to sit down with you for a while.
Okay.
For a while.
Okay.
What are you up to now? You're getting inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. Now, you're in this Legends community. What does that mean? What is that about?
So check this out. 5 years ago, Troy Vincent, who's now the number two guy at the NFL, he had an idea that he wanted to start something within the NFL that was specifically directed towards former players, embracing them, celebrating them, and reconnecting them with the league and with their teams. Because a lot of us, man, when we leave the league, sometimes there's a bitter taste in your mouth, there's resentment, there's disappointment, and he wanted to make sure that we had a vehicle that was able to reach out to former players and let them know, hey, bro, you're not alone. We have resources and benefits that can help you. And there's no way you making it to the NFL, you should leave thinking that your life isn't significant. And the NFL Legends community was formed, and I'm a coordinator in the Central South region. This is in the Dallas region, a big region where a lot of former players are. And literally here, we're hosting a Legends Lounge. So here we're celebrating players. So we're hosting a Legends Lounge, which is like a big party. It'll be about 600 former players there, and their guests just enjoying the evening. And it's just going to be a blessing to them all. They're going to connect with guys, and they're going to connect with guys that they have lost connection with, and then they're going to keep that connection moving forward. So that's what the Legends community is all about.
That's awesome, because, you know, I interviewed some of these older guys that played that, yeah, in the pros when we were young, and they're hurting. Addiction, mental illness, they're hurting.
And we have remedies for all of that. Like, there's no way somebody should – like, I get calls – and guys are like, hey, man, I'm struggling to find a job. Hey, man, things are – I'm not feeling too – hey, I just went through a divorce, and I'm feeling some type of way. I'm needing some medical assistance. All those things, there's remedies that we have available, that they have available, that they don't even know about. And it's my responsibility and the Legends community responsibility to let them know, hey, brother, no. You're part of this brotherhood. Let's get it. Let's make it happen.
One more quick question. Are you on television?
No. That's not my lane right there. My lane is
like... But you hear like how dynamic this guy is. Like, it's silly that you're not, unless you don't want it.
No. I'm thank you for that, but no.
Listen, I'm not just saying that. I've talked to 100 guys this weekend. You're an engaging, dynamic, exciting, real, right? Real, like you're looking me in the eyes. You're not fucking over... You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, man. Thank you. Thank you.
You got a great name. You should be on television. There's only one, right?
Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm going to do a quick photo with you.
Okay.
All righty. That is going to do it. Super Bowl Part 3, closing the book on Super Bowl 53. Hope you enjoyed it. As I did say in a previous episode, I'm going to do my darndest to get down to the Super Bowl next year. I almost said this year, but it's next year. In late January, early February, in Miami, if I'm able to get a pass, I should go start looking for those passes as soon as the season starts in August. These shows are going to come out every Wednesday. That's my new commitment to you. Every Wednesday, you're going to hear a new one of these shows, and once in a while, you're going to get a bonus like you are today on a Thursday, May the 2nd, here in the ATL. Please do tell a friend about the Atlanta Podcast. That's how you can support me. If you want to know how you can support your old friend Matt, theatlantapodcast.com. We are on Spotify and... we are on iTunes and a bunch of other fun places. See you later, ATL.